Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we'll be in 2 Chronicles chapter 26. You know, when I read a passage, I like to read it as literature, but let me explain what I mean and what I don't mean when I make that statement. Sometimes when somebody says they're saying that the Bible isn't the Word of God, but it's still great literature, to which I say poppycock, and I don't hold to that at all. But only because I like to say the word poppycock, and it's much politer than words I used to say to express the same sentiment before I knew Jesus. Besides, if I'd said hogwash or gobbledygook, you would have gotten the same meaning. But when I say I like to read it as literature, I mean that even though it is the living, breathing Word of God, I want to read it as literature to understand the intent of the author. You see, the author of the book chose to include certain details while leaving others out. For example, there are parallel passages to Uzziah's life found in the book of 2 Kings. Now, for through the word purposes, I could tell you all about Uzziah, telling you things that 2 Chronicles didn't, and some teachers do that when teaching through a passage when they're preaching a sermon. They probably think, like most Americans, more is better, and give you an info dump about King Uzziah. But that is not reading the Bible as literature. In other words, it doesn't really help you understand 2 Chronicles chapter 26 any better. You see, once you understand that the writers of the Bible were clever people, people who chose strategically what to include and what to leave out, you begin to understand that you're dealing with a book that has specific aims in mind. Now, this book was meant to show you the rise and fall of Israel according to the promise of God. Therefore, almost everything that 2 Chronicles tells you about a king is strategically chosen to tell you that story. The key verse that the writer hones right in on in verses 4 and 5 is, "And he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord according to all his father Amaziah had done. He set himself to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper." Now, that last part tells us we are still dealing with a covenant. The agreement that God makes, the bargain he strikes up with people who believe in him that say, if you obey, you'll be blessed, but if you disobey, you'll be cursed. Now, this was the agreement in the Garden of Eden. And this was the agreement with Abraham and all the patriarchs. And this was the agreement that Moses gave them the covenant and eventually David and all of the kings after him, as we see in Chronicles. That from the beginning of this agreement that God makes with man, God always keeps his end of the bargain. But we also see that we do not. You see, for us to keep our end of it is hard. Therefore, in the scripture, we constantly see God picking up our failed end of the bargain too, through Jesus, but in the Old Testament, sacrifices pointing to Jesus, the one who would come and in our place perfectly fulfill all of the demands of the covenant. He obeyed everything perfectly, earning us all the blessings of the covenant, but then and taking all of the curses for breaking it. Jesus' mission was truly amazing. But now, for this story, we see that Jesus hadn't come yet, but the author wants to point out that God still blessed the imperfect obedience, but he also punished disobedience too. So right after verse 5 tells us, Uzziah was blessed as long as he sought the Lord. We see all the ways that God prospered him during those times in verses 6 through 15. We're told he made huge waterways and massive gardens, and the agriculture of the Fertile Crescent reached a peak. But he also raised a large army, crafted weapons and armor, and in verse 15, and I love this, he crafted siege engines. Now, I'm not as up on biblical archaeology as I used to be, but it's a side hobby of mine to learn about it. And in my library is a pretty nerdy little book on the siege engines of ancient Israel. I'm not joking. We're talking catapults and ballistas like something out of medieval Britain castle siege. Well, we've unearthed the remains of many of these and studied them, and this is the part of the Bible that tells you they were quite the thing during Uzziah's reign. If it helps you remember, Uzziah could be shortened to Uzi. And don't forget, that's a pretty powerful little Israeli machine gun. In the 80s, it was all we talked about. The Uzi machine gun could be held in one hand and fired in bursts, making it a formidable foe. And besides, Snake Eyes from G.I. Joe had two. Well, that's what an Uzi was. Uzziah was a little powerful king. But verse 16 tells us, "But when he was strong, he grew proud to his destruction, for he was unfaithful to the Lord his God, and entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense." And that was a big no-no. Let's read the passage. Verse 17 says, "But Azariah the priest went in after him with 80 priests of the Lord who were men of valor. And they withstood King Uzziah and said, 'It's not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for you have done wrong, and it will bring you no honor from the Lord God.' Then Uzziah was angry. Now he had a censer in his hand to burn incense, and he became angry with the priests, and as he did, leprosy broke out on his forehead, in the presence of the priests in the house of the Lord by the altar of incense. And Azariah, the chief of priests, and all the priests looked at him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they rushed him out quickly, and he himself hurried to go out, because the Lord had struck him. And King Uzziah was a leper to the day of his death, and being a leper, lived in a separate house, for he was excluded from the house of the Lord. And Jotham, his son, was over the king's household, governing the people of the land." Now, entering the forbidden holy place was not okay, especially by a non-priest. And the reason was that only someone declared holy was allowed to enter there. Now, we've learned even in our study of this book that being holy was not possible for us humans. We could be ritualistically clean under the covenant, but the priest would go through some cleansing rituals and be temporarily declared holy, but he wasn't actually holy. He would be temporarily declared holy, but only as a picture of Jesus, the only one who truly was holy, who could enter into God's presence. He'd eventually make a way for us, but until then, God took very seriously that we needed to understand that nobody could enter his presence. Our very salvation was hinged upon this understanding, and what Uzziah did actually undermined what salvation meant. Therefore, because it was done out of pride, God had to teach not only him, but the entire onlooking nation of how important it was to understand that God was holy and nobody else was. Therefore, God struck him immediately with leprosy. Now, you may wonder why, but leprosy was so contagious that what happened with Uzziah was the opposite of what he wanted. He would be isolated and cut off, much like God was, rather than entering God's presence. He would be cut off from everyone, quarantined away from humanity, and spend all that time learning what to be set apart actually was. You know, I'm glad Jesus came and entered for us with his blood, making sacrifice once and for all, so that now you and I have perfect access into God's presence, but not out of pride, but based on humility, because we couldn't do it, but needed Jesus to enter for us. He entered on our behalf.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.